Hello, welcome to The Fat Lip, the podcast for fat people about fat people. I'm your fat host, Ash, and I have a long one for you today. So, before I get into what today's episode is about, I wanted to talk about a quick thing. So, in the next couple of months, you're probably going to be seeing some reruns on your Fat Lip podcast feed. And that's because I just have a lot going on. As you guys know, I've talked about hoping to move soon. I don't have any concrete dates, no news or anything, but hopefully that will be happening soon. And in the meantime, I just have a lot of other stuff going on, a lot of other things that I'm working on. So there may be times in the next couple of months that instead of getting a new episode, you get a rerun. And this podcast has been going on for over 3 years now, and so there are a lot of episodes, and so there are a lot of episodes that I think deserve to be revisited. And you know, a lot of you that are listening now didn't listen back then, so maybe you haven't heard them. So I think that it would be valuable to bring some of those back, and also because, you know, in all those 3 years, I've never taken a hiatus on this show. You know, a lot of people that do podcasts do them in seasons. I've never done that. I've just gone 3 years straight through. So I'm not taking a hiatus or anything like that. But there will be definitely times where I don't get a new episode together. So I'm going to run a rerun. So I just wanted you all to be aware of that, to be expecting that. And, you know, in a few months when everything's settled, when the dust is settled, I'll be back doing these, you know, twice a month regularly with new stuff. And there still will be some new stuff scattered in there probably. But I just wanted you to know, if you see a rerun pop up, it's totally fine. Everything's fine. Okay, now that that's out of the way, let's talk about today's episode. So it is a longer one. In today's episode, I'm talking to a dear friend of mine that I've known for 15 years, probably close to. We talk about this a little bit in the episode, but I just wanted to mention it. We met on a message board, a long time ago and in the early 2000s. And, that message board doesn't really exist. I mean, it still exists, but not in the same way anymore. So whenever I've talked about this message board before, people have asked me what it is. I don't mention the name just because it's not the same as it was then. It's not like the same community sort of thing. And it doesn't have to be because we have Instagram and things like that now, which we didn't have back then. But I just wanted you to be aware of that because we do talk about it a little bit. But we did meet in person 12 years ago almost. And we've, you know, been friends ever since. And Betsy is like one of those people that no matter how much time has passed, whenever I talk to her, it just feels like, you know, there's never been any time, you know, we still really enjoy talking to each other. And she's just like one of the sweetest people I've ever met in my entire life. And one of those people who I always just feel like always has my back and like is so supportive. And so today we're talking about a venture that she's working on. So her background is in counseling, but now she is working, she's like spinning up her own business as a life coach. And she's been focusing on building a program on, you know, cultivating a positive body image. And so that's what she's been working on. And so in today's episode, I'm going to talk to her about what it's like to, you know, sort of spin up your own thing as a fat person, and the struggles and what she wants to be doing, what she wants to be talking about, and the clients that she hopes to have. And I hope that some of you who are listening, who are looking for a body image coach, probably especially fat people, Betsy's a fat person, She's super fat. If you're looking for someone to talk to about this kind of stuff, the kind of stuff that you hear us talking about today in this episode, she is, like I said, one of the most positive, supportive people in the entire world, and she would be a fantastic coach for you. So I hope if you're looking for someone that you reach out to her, because she's amazing. So I'm going to put all of her information in the show notes so that you can see all of that. And I hope you enjoy this episode. It was just really good to be able to talk to her. We talked about an entire world of things around fatness and fat liberation, and we could probably talk for hours more, but it was a really good episode. I really enjoyed it. And in this editing process, listening back, I thought it was so good. And we talked about so many valuable things. So I hope you love it. And I will stop talking now and let you get on to listening to the episode. So this is the conversation that I had with my dear friend Betsy. And I hope you enjoy.
I almost don't even know what to say. Well, you've probably seen, I think you did see a live or two of mine where I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Listen, I totally get it. I started this podcast 3 years ago now. Even now,
you're amazing.
Even now, every time I sit down to record, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Why are people listening to this? And then I'm like, nobody is listening to this. Why am I bothering? But I mean, people are listening. But it's like one of those things where no matter how far into it you are, you still feel like you don't know what you're doing. And
it's just either a thing you got to get comfortable with and push through every time, or something that you eventually start to believe, it's not true that you don't know what you're doing,
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, every time I am like, I don't know what I'm doing. Why am I still putting myself through this? But you know. But then I see people really responding. And so then
that's
okay,
great.
It's worth it, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I just think about, how we all ended up, in this sphere and understanding, more about how to be kind to ourselves and love each other and love ourselves. And, it's not perfect.
No.
But I mean, it's so nice to be able to come to a place where you have that understanding that, the understanding that it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be sadness and, feeling like you're never enough and simultaneously too much.
Right.
Ugh.
And I feel like so much of becoming comfortable with being a fat person, came from, that community that we all met each other on, and that doesn't really exist anymore. There isn't that anymore. There isn't that message board anymore, or the events the way that we went to them when we first started going,
And yeah, I feel like it really all changed.
Yeah. It really changed. And Instagram is a thing, and there's tons of people in the fat community on Instagram. But I don't feel like it's the same because it's not so insular,
Well, and it's a lot of, existing side by side, which is great, but not really being involved in each other's lives.
Right.
Or in each other's, thought patterns.
Right. And people aren't really talking to each other on Instagram. They're just presenting their life and everybody else is observing it. And then you just present your own life so everybody can observe it. It's not like you're actually having conversations and that kind of thing. So it is a community, but it's not, you're not actually in community with people,
Right.
And I feel like that's such an important part of fat people, learning to be okay with themselves is meeting people that look like them and being able to just exist peacefully. And I feel like that was a huge part of it for me, finding myself and figuring out, that I didn't have to hate myself and I didn't have to, be afraid of strangers because who cares what they actually think of me,
And you didn't have to be, a good fatty anymore. And you didn't have to be, it didn't have to be everybody else's expectations. And at that point, I don't even think it was our expectations that we were living up to. But it was the possibility that there were these different expectations, or maybe no expectations.
Right, right.
And the idea that we can just challenge that stuff.
Yeah, totally, totally.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of my goal with the podcast, is to sort of, well, because even on Instagram, there aren't very many super fats or infinite fats that are,
right,
that are getting a lot of, you don't see a lot of representation.
So, you don't see, yeah. And I actually, like, I feel like one of the things that, you know, within my coaching that if I were doing it, I would suggest is, you know, finding them, yeah, finding the people that represent you, finding the people that you relate with on a real deep level, and getting them in your feed, getting them,
yeah, totally,
you know, curate your social media.
Yeah, totally.
To, you know, give you the messages that are going to help you find a better way.
Yeah, totally. Totally. That's, yeah, it's so important because, like, there's so much of Instagram, like the greater Instagram. Like, I feel like the fat community Instagram is like such a tiny part of what Instagram really is, but like mainstream Instagram is all like about aspirational, like having everything that these, yeah, Instagram influencers have and looking like they look. And I feel like it's very easily to like accidentally get swept into that when you're on Instagram. And
oh yeah, well, not even accidentally, it's planned that way.
Yeah, totally, totally. It's because like these people have millions of followers, and it's easy to just be like, oh well, if all of these people like this person, or like all these people like this body type, like maybe that's who I should be, maybe that's what I should look like. And
right,
and it's just not realistic. And also, it just makes you feel like shit. And so,
yeah, it does. It does. When it's, you know, this unrealistic and, you know, filtered to death, airbrushed shit, you know, well, not even airbrushed, because it really is just filters on filters on filters.
Yeah.
And, you know, the helicopter angle and,
yeah, a lot of face,
your boyfriend
tune,
who hangs from a, you know, a rafter to make sure that he gets the right angle on,
right,
you with,
right,
your, you know, smoothie bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like, I mean, like the big influencers, they're all paid by brands and they're like making all this money. And so they have tons of money for, you know, to make their lives look so beautiful and curated. And
yeah,
it's just not what people, like how people really live.
No, it's not. It's not. It's like the new, you know, shellacked version of the American dream.
Yeah.
The millennial American dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but that, I mean, it's just that, it's a dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they are having some, you know, pretty awesome, lavish vacations and traveling everywhere. And yeah, I honestly think we should all be able to have that. And there's probably a way, but you know, when it comes down to it, like they're going home and they're eating the same crap pizza we are. And
yeah, totally.
They just don't Instagram that.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Oh gosh.
Well, let's talk about you first. Let's talk about, okay, your background, you know, where you came from and how you got to where you are.
Okay. Well, my background, I got a bachelor's in clinical psychology and then moved on to a master's in counseling psychology. And I specialized in families, adolescents, and anxiety, depression, and cognitive behavioral therapy.
Mm-hmm.
But I did leave the counseling field because of a lot of the red tapes and the, you know, push to treat people for things they didn't have, or to, you know, support people, you know, just get them in any group or any program anywhere because there was no money to support what they really needed treatment for.
Yeah.
And that just wasn't sustainable. And it felt awful. It felt icky. And so I left the field and started looking into life coaching and trying to be able to, you know, spread a message of self-love to a wider audience. And that's kind of how I came to, you know, start Embody. My business name, it's begun as Viv and Moxie. And so the name there came from Moxie Body, so Embody. Mm-hmm. And that felt nice. So that's a program I'd been working on, and honestly, it hasn't gained traction yet, but definitely not something I'm giving up because a lot of the feedback I'm receiving is that this is so needed.
Yeah,
And I
totally.
mean, we all know that. Like, I mean, you cannot, throw a penny into a pond and not hit somebody that has been affected by a poor body image.
Right.
Men and women both, although my focus is women. That could evolve in time, but you need to find your people and help them and stick with them first and figure
Yeah.
out, who can really use what you've got.
Yeah.
Where I'm at now is I'm trying to find my people
Yeah.
so
Yeah.
that we can work on this together and spread the word. And I don't know. I think this fight has been too quiet for too long and it needs to be more mainstream.
Yeah.
I
Yeah,
don't know. We've got to find a way to do that.
I think a lot of people, first of all, most people don't know that having bad body image is not the way it's supposed to be. Like,
It's not even a thought.
yeah, most, especially fat people, we just think that like we deserve to suffer and we deserve to hate ourselves, and society and media messaging just confirms that for us all the time. So we just
Absolutely.
believe that this is our plight, and if we hadn't gotten so fat, we wouldn't have to go through this. But now that we're here, like we're just doomed to live this sad, terrible life where we just hate ourselves. And
Right.
most people don't know that we need to f that there is a way out of that, or that, other than, extreme weight loss or whatever.
Right. Well, it never even occurs to them. It's
Right.
just, it is so rote, it is such a almost like a a prescribed adventure we all get as soon as we start to get fat. Like, it just, the world responds to us differently. And
Yeah.
I think that teaches us to respond differently to ourselves and each other.
Yeah.
Although, the one thing that I find interesting, just, as kind of off that thought, is when, two fat people, end up in the same place at the same time, they don't necessarily know each other. There's this bond, this little spark that we have where we're
Yeah.
like, what's up?
Yeah, like I get
and
you.
it's so
Like,
excited.
yeah, I
Right.
know
Like,
something about you.
Like we see each other. And I think that's something nice about when some of the fat community gets together. There's a lot more of that. And I wonder, and not as a fat versus thin thing, but I wonder if more average size people get together, maybe they feel that more. Or alternately, maybe that's just not a thing that they ever worry about, being
Yeah,
seen.
I always wonder about that too. Like, what is it actually like, do thin people or straight sized people, when they get together, do they feel that same, kinship that fat people feel when they're,
Yeah.
and like, I don't know. It's
Or is it
something
just
that
like
I
not
would
something
never.
that even occurs to them because like they've never felt strange or
Or
different or lesser
marginalized,
or
or
too much?
yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, it's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
And definitely not and this is something as someone who's been in the size positive space for so long, I forget sometimes that other people have such, I don't forget obviously, but I mean I neglect that some people have some serious value attached to fatness or lack of fatness,
Yeah.
that having a conversation like that with just like just curiosity. It's not even like a gosh, I wish I was thin so I didn't have to feel estranged from society all the time, or I didn't have to feel so isolated. It's legit. Just what is that like?
Yeah, totally, totally. I find myself thinking that way all the time. Like, even with Travis, my husband, sometimes I'm like, what is it like to walk down the street and not have everyone turn around and stare at you? Like, even something as
Right.
simple as just like always being noticed by everyone just by
Right.
existing. Like, what is that like?
Absolutely. Like,
And
I'm not even mad at it.
no,
Like,
it's
I
just
don't.
like, I am fascinated by like what that experience is actually
Right,
like,
right. Yeah, absolutely. I'm so with you. I feel like that's just such an interesting point, and really it comes around to having that, that community where, the things you're going through are things that people understand. And, I really worry that a lot of people, especially fat people who haven't, been hip to this movement, they really miss out on the ability to, have that feeling. And they, when they do think about what is it like to be thin, it's with longing.
Oh, yeah,
And it's
definitely.
from a place of what's wrong with me, or I've always been this way. What did I do to deserve that? I'm just thinking about the things that I used to think before I knew that there was another way. And it's sad, and it's just underscores the importance of, getting, more people in that circle and, expanding the space.
Yeah, and I think part of it is that, like, we're conditioned to believe that thin people have their lives under control, and they can control when they when they will live and die because they do all the right things. And I feel like thin people feel like an invincibility.
Actually, yeah, I can see that. Like, I've got this part nailed down, so obviously
Yeah, so I'm
I'm here, I'm, strong, and
right.
even if that's not true, if it's just related to thinness and not even necessarily related to what kind of healthy behaviors they have. And again, the idea of healthy being really big and kind of vague. Like, yeah,
Incredibly
there's
vague.
ideas that I'm sure we can all agree are healthy, like, eating foods that have nutrition attached to them. Awesome. Yeah. But if you have a Twinkie, that doesn't make you a bad person, but we all believe that. Or
Well,
a lot of us
if
did
you're
believe
fat
that.
and you have a Twinkie, you're a bad person. If you're
Oh
thin and
my gosh.
you have a Twinkie, you just know how to live.
Oh,
Like,
right, prove yourself.
you're allowed to be thin and have a Twinkie because that's adorable.
That
But if you're fat and you eat a
is adorable.
Twinkie, then that is irresponsible and you're gonna die.
Exactly. And they could have, identical, like blood work results,
Yeah,
and
totally.
oh my gosh. Oh, see, that's terrible. I feel so bad. Like, I'm sitting here laughing at it, but I mean, when you come to it from, like the size positive angle, it really is laughable.
Yeah, it's just so ridiculous.
But
And
I want it to be ridiculous for everyone.
yeah, it's just so frustrating 'cause like I see fat people like posting photos of themselves and then like all of the comments that they get on the internet are from people who have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. Like but you cannot convince them that they don't know. Like if a fat person is eating a Twinkie on the internet and they're getting trolls and you try to tell them that like there's no difference between a fat person eating a Twinkie and a thin person eating a Twinkie, you cannot tell them that that's true. Like they do not believe it no matter what you say. They are completely convinced that they are in the right. And it's just because they were vaguely told, I mean, probably multiple times in their lives that just being
Absolutely.
fat is unhealthy. And everything that a fat person does that is not weight loss is unhealthy.
Right.
And
Including living without trying for weight loss.
right, exactly. And you cannot tell them any differently. And
It's almost as if, and I could even confirm it, from my own experience as a young adult or as a kid, being fat is bad in the same way that what we breathe is oxygen.
yeah.
The belief is that strong, and it's repeated, so often, and it is endemic to absolutely every portion of our lives. And I'm not sure where the obsession came from. It's like, some colonial or pre-colonial structure from, the English society that, came to dominate this land. Like, it's, all about, what our values are, what's sinful, what's not sinful. And, none of it is real. It's just this construct that we all, I don't know if we all agreed on it. Well, no, we certainly didn't agree on it. But at some point, somebody with enough power to say what is good and bad was able to, establish those thoughts and that
Nail
type
it to
of
the
thinking.
wall. Yeah.
And it's just, holy crap. And now it's so deeply entrenched that, like, we're going to have to unbuild it brick by brick.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like that's what we're doing.
Yeah, we're trying. And I feel like it's working. Like, I feel like it's starting to build some momentum. Like, there are definitely, you know, fatter people being represented every day. But I feel
all
like
the time, yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like there's still so far to go.
You're right, because I mean, like, not to say that I never or I ever want to be unexcited about a fat person being represented, but we still get freaking excited as heck every time somebody gets some, you know, mainstream play, or like the fact that, you know, there are actual approaching real plus size models and plus size advertising now.
Yeah.
It's not enough yet.
No,
it's not enough. No. Everyone's not represented. And, you know, we still get the short end of the, you know, when we're shopping for clothes, especially.
Yeah.
Well, and obviously, like you said, there's so much more to do and so far to go. But we really are beginning to see some of the changes. It's so funny now, you know, just thinking back to when I was learning about, you know, fat acceptance. It was almost like a cult then, you know, not to say that we're all hanging out drinking Kool-Aid, except we were. No, no, but it just seems like, you know, it's safer to talk about it all the time, but you still get a ton of flack. You know, you still get trolls. You still get well-meaning people who completely don't get it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're saying weird things and they, you know, conceptualize it with what they already know. And they're like, good for you trying to like yourself being fat too.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, that's better. But we can still do better.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I feel like we're on our way. I just hope that, like, the smaller fat people don't forget to bring super fats and infinite fats along.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm so with you. You know, it is definitely a group effort, but it's got to be the whole group. You know, it's.
Yeah.
Oh, what do they say? It takes a village to raise a child. So it's, you know, like a fat baby that we're all going to raise together.
A big fat baby.
Yeah. No, you know, we need the village. We need everybody over to raise the barn.
Yeah.
Okay. And how many more metaphors do I have?
I'm also seeing, like, thankfully, more and more thin people starting to understand fat liberation and starting to advocate 100%. For fat people.
Yeah.
Which is nice. I mean, still not nearly enough, not even close to enough, but I'm starting to see a few, and I feel like a lot of people are upset by when fat people talk about fat liberation, like on Twitter or whatever. And because they feel like, you know, they're getting attention for things that fat people have been saying since the 60s, obviously.
Yeah.
And, which is true. And I think that, you know, thin people who are interested in fat liberation, like, their job is to point people at the fat people that have been doing this work. But also, I feel like we need thin people because they're the ones that society believes. Like, fat people can yell about fat liberation and about how being fat doesn't have anything to do with how healthy you are and, you know, all that stuff. We can yell about that stuff forever, but society as a whole doesn't believe us and they don't. And they don't listen to us. Like, we will never convince a fat hater. A fat person will never convince a fat hater to consider their humanity. Like, we can never do that for ourselves. So we need thin people to be able to do that.
That's such a good way to put it.
And it's so exhausting to have to beg for your humanity as a fat person. So, like, we need fat allies to do that.
Why does, you know, the entire culture, except for, you know, us, well, and obviously we have so many forms of oppression, but that's not the road I'm going to go down right now. Yeah. But why does everybody else get this, you know, humanity is just given to them and it's okay.
Yeah.
And like anyone else who doesn't fit that persona, who doesn't fit that mold is, you know, automatically denied humanity, mm-hmm. you know, at least from some people that just can't get with it, you know, like they can't get with diversity or differences.
Yeah.
But everyone is owed this humanity. And I wonder, you know, if, well, obviously there's a lot of people that don't think real deeply about it, but I mean, if we present it as a, you know, a humanitarian issue, are there some people that might, you know, go, oh, wait a minute. But I mean, I'm a humanitarian. I just hate fat people, which is fine because fat people are bad.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. It's so disheartening, like, especially as a liberal, to see other liberals who care so much about oppressed people and marginalized issues, but still hate fat people.
Yeah.
It's so depressing because it's like you're, I feel like, you know, as a liberal, my job is to care about everyone and want the best for everyone and want everyone to have the same rights and like to be able to live in a safe society and, you know, to be able to live peacefully. But I feel like so that for so many liberals, that stops at fat people.
And that's really sad because you just want to be like, do you hear yourself?
Yeah, totally. And like, it's
I just heard you speak for an hour about gay rights, and that's great because I totally support that. But then you made a fat joke at, you know, this person's expense.
Right.
And everybody laughed. And do you not hear yourself?
Right. And I think like part of the problem is as liberals, we feel like we know what's good for everyone. And so, you know, thin liberals feel like they know what's good for fat people is to be unfat. And
right. And almost like they, you know, well, to use the same thought from before, it's almost like they, you know, feel like they're standing up there, you know, professing that everybody ought to breathe oxygen because oxygen is definitely the way to live best. Totally can't disagree with that. But, you know, when they're talking about fat people, that's how they see it.
Yeah.
And that's how they're professing, you know, health for your own sake and live for your children and just be healthy so we can have a healthier society. And it's like, but that's not how any of this works.
No.
And I wonder if some of this, just a thought occurring to me now, if some of our own pressures to try and spread this, maybe we need to find a way for us to come toward at least people that might be more amenable to the ideas with less frustration because they have no idea. And just like we've been talking, like a lot of people just have no freaking clue that this is not true gospel,
right,
as it were, you know, and maybe like I hear myself talking about, you know, fat liberation and being so frustrated with the people that would really stand in the way because they just either don't get it or really have, you know, some special hate for fat people. I don't know, but coming to them from a more neutral place, from a gentler place, even though it doesn't, it almost feels like giving in, but not.
Yeah, that's what's so hard is trying to find a way to like get our message through in a way that is safe for us and that it doesn't compromise, you know, how we live in this world or compromise how, you know, we feel safe in this world, but still like making it safe enough for people to join us, you know,
right?
Like making our message, like we shouldn't have to blunt our message to make people get on board with us, but right. Also in some cases I feel like we have to. And like, that's not just to say that.
So hear you.
That's not to say that I feel like I want to tell anyone else how to, you know, be, how to speak about fat activism and fat liberation. But it makes me want to like take a gentler approach sometimes with people because I feel like that's a better way, in my case, to get people on my side.
Right. If we approach it combatively, they're going to respond combatively.
Right.
And that, I mean, in the long run is going to make our fight harder, but by the same token, you know, we're still struggling against trolls who, it doesn't matter what you say, they're going to come at it combatively.
Right.
That's just like kind of their, you know, love of life right there.
Yeah.
Gosh. But I think it would be so nice to be able to, you know, speak to somebody and say, look, I know you don't get this, but I want you to give me a minute.
Yeah.
Let me talk about this.
Sometimes I think, like, who is the most reasonable politician that I can think of who might be able to hear this?
Yeah.
And I, like, of the mainstream, like, I'm trying to think of, like, the you know, the people, the Democratic presidential candidates right now, like,
yeah, absolutely,
all 600 of them. And and I try to think of, like, okay, who could we approach with fat liberation who would be able to actually hear us? And yes, like,
that's a great idea.
And like, my first thought would be like Elizabeth Warren, but also she has shown that she like will double down and be defensive. So I don't know if it would be her, because like, I think about, this is completely unrelated, but I think about the, her ancestry results and how
right.
she found out that she was in fact, you know, a sliver Native American.
Right.
And how she used that to double down. And I feel like what she should have done is used that moment to be like, you know what? I like many Americans have been told throughout my life that I was part Native. And, so I've used that throughout my life to talk about my identity, and I've identified with that. But in reality, what we know is that like being Native is so much more than, you know, having a Native ancestor. It's a culture and it's an identity, and it's not something that a white person should claim, even if their great, 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 great grandparent was Native right. or whatever. So it's like, I want her to be able to acknowledge that and say, and use that to, as a lesson to other people, and be like, you know, in America, we've been doing this for 100 years, and this is not the way we should be talking about ourselves.
Right.
If you're
and
white, you're white.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. If you're white, you're white. You don't get to claim Native heritage because,
right.
you know, 100 years ago, one of your white grandparents, you know, married a Native person.
Right. Well, it's almost like trying to, you know, reach out to people and be community with them and finding out that, you know, you've just inadvertently appropriated.
Yeah.
But still the message needs to be that when we learn better, we do better.
Yeah, and exactly.
Even
exactly.
if that's now, you know.
Yeah.
And there's no time she could have learned that other than when she learned it.
Yeah. And so I just wish that she had, I mean, she's an older white lady. I mean, we all know people like that who just, mm-hmm. who aren't going to come to those conclusions on their own, and they need people around them that can tell them that stuff.
Right.
And
she obviously has that at least.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know? Yeah. But I feel like she should have handled it a little bit better, or somebody should have told her how to handle it a little bit better. So it
right.
makes, so it's like, I don't know, like, could you bring fat liberation to somebody like Elizabeth Warren, and would she hear you? And
that's
I don't
a good
know.
Question.
I don't know.
And you know, I actually, it occurred to me, this is going to sound like a long shot, but Michelle Obama has always been very into, you know, like she had the whole healthy eating thing for
yeah.
kids and the, you know, gardens and everything. But I get the sense from her that she would be someone who really wants to hear what people are hurting from.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I mean, I feel like,
she could at least have the conversation, maybe not
yeah.
publicly, but
yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I feel like it would take like a face-to-face conversation with a fat person who's like really been hurt by fat phobia.
Right.
And yeah, maybe Michelle Obama is the right person. I feel like a lot of people in the fat community would like balk at that because she did have the Let's Move thing, and like childhood obesity was her, you know, platform. And
yeah.
but I do feel like that she is a compassionate person. And
I feel like, you know, a lot of, you know, where she comes to the idea that, you know, childhood obesity is the thing to fight is a lot of where we come from in terms of why we think that phobia is the thing to fight.
Yeah.
Because it hurts people. It hurts children. You know, I think we just, you know, found different angles on it, maybe. Or I could be completely wrong, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't like, I obviously don't know Michelle Obama or like why she, whether she came up to the childhood obesity thing because she thinks obesity is an epidemic and needs to be eradicated, or whether she
right.
came to it from a compassionate place. But I do think that she seems to be a compassionate person, that she is
right.
more likely to hear a heartfelt well, yeah. story and from a person.
Is totally there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just she's, you know, breathing the same oxygen everybody else is breathing.
Yeah.
In terms of what we've learned as we grow up.
Exactly.
What's, you know, reinforced every single day. And, you know, it's almost hard to see just how much of it is. You know, like, I do wonder, you know, since I got up this morning, how many times have I been greeted with some sort of message that was fat phobic?
Yeah.
You know, and I can't tell you because, I mean, we don't even see them all. And, you know, I myself as somebody who's like pretty aware of it, I know I don't see them all because it's just how we've lived forever.
Yeah.
You know, and the more media we get, you know, the more we find those messages. And well, then again, unless you can find a way to curate your social media, like I do have, you know, obviously I'm getting, you know, the ads and, you know, you do fat research and you are going to get so many weight loss ads. Oh yep. my gosh.
Report them as a scam.
Heck yeah. That's the way to do it because it is a scam.
Yeah, totally.
You're not a even scam. Lying. Oh my goodness. But yeah, like being able to curate it in that way, like just, you know, not only helps you see, you know, more people like yourself and more people living like yourself and more people, you know, really feeling like they're living.
Yeah.
And they're like you, you know, it really helps you to be aware of the other stuff when you do encounter it.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a total pivot.
No.
Michelle Obama, it's all related. Curating your newsfeed.
Well, Michelle Obama needs to curate her newsfeed also in a more compassionate yes. way towards fat people. Done. Absolutely. Brought it full circle.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, I feel like because I try to think about like people, politicians who, when faced with criticism, they become defensive, and politicians who, when faced with criticism, they are willing to learn. And I feel like most politicians are the defensive ones.
Yeah.
But I think that somebody like Michelle Obama would be willing to like listen to a human experience coming from a human. And like have compassion for that.
Right. Like even, you know, honestly, even if she didn't agree with it, I still feel like she would, you know, have that space for someone to speak their truth and, you know, allow for their emotions about it.
Yeah.
And allow for their experience to be their experience.
Yeah.
You know, without trying to, you know, dampen or quiet them, you know, or quiet the message. Just allowing it to be,
yeah,
you know, and like, I don't know. It's like, she doesn't have to endorse every last thing she hears, but to, you know, be with it and hear it would be a step in the right direction. I'd love her to, you know, endorse our ideas, but
yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's just going to take like just the spark of, wow, like I heard this person's story and this is not what I thought this for my whole life.
Right. And just like, that space for that person to be able to speak and have others hear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's like every time we see somebody like us talking on TV. That's not Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
I'll put that caveat out there. I think I saw, you know, there was I want to say it was The Daily Show a while back. I saw a fat author and, you know, they were actually talking about fat. But, you know, I also have been disappointed by Trevor Noah before.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. I mean, I've been disappointed by everyone at this point. Like, yeah, it's hard to like have faith in anyone too.
Well, and even ourselves, like, you know, there are times when I will hear, you know, some of the most age old fat joke and I'll find myself giggling a little bit because, well, this is where I grew up, this is how I grew up, this yeah. is what I heard. And I stop and I immediately go, oh gosh, no, I didn't.
Yeah. You know? For me, it's like, I find myself accepting like fat, negative small talk often. Like, so I live in a building full of neighbors, mm-hmm. so many neighbors, but a lot of them are older white people. And
it is usually that group.
Yeah. And it's so easy for them to just start talking about, like, you know, what's good exercise and, you know, what's healthy and to eat and all that stuff. And if we're at a meeting and they're talking about, you know, how they don't want to get pizza because, you know, they don't need the
carbs,
they don't need the, yeah, they don't need the calories or whatever. Like, yeah. I find myself, rather than speaking up, it's just easier to just let them go on and let them, you know, right. have their fat negative small talk. And
so, I mean, we have to decide, is it, you know, a kind of a choosing your battles thing, or yeah. is it, you know, I don't think that, you know, we let it go because it's easier, but I think we let it go because we know that this is, you know, not the place and time.
Yeah.
Although there are some who would definitely argue it is always the place and always the time.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, some, but for like, some people,
like proselytizing to your neighbors, you know, like,
yeah. Yeah. So for some people, and like, that's why I say, like, I don't ever want to tell anybody how to be a fat activist or to talk about fat liberation, because like, for some people, you know, addressing it every time is the right thing to do and what feels the best for them. Right. But for me, like, I don't want to talk to my neighbor. Like, I'm not a chat with my neighbors kind of girl.
And, yeah, you're like, and let's so, not like, do this now.
So, like, sometimes I just don't want to start an entire conversation.
Well, but that's the thing. You know, you're not beholden to, you know, that. You get to live your life the way you get to live your life.
Yeah.
You know, and just like everybody, you know, who is, you know, slender and fabulous and, you know, that's how they want to be. And that's what works for them. You know, they all do it different ways.
Yeah.
You know, and it's definitely, I guess, a personal decision everybody needs to make, you know, whether they're, you know, hello, have you heard of our Lord and Savior, you know.
Fat liberation.
Yeah. Anyway, I really think you're right there. You know, it's definitely something everybody needs to choose for themselves and to see. You know, how they're going to spread their message and how they're going to share it. And I think that's, you know, a lot of the way that I go about it too, especially like when talking about business, I am of the mind that I would rather attract my people than, you know, dig them up and, you know, force them to see it. But that is definitely a rough way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't want to force the message onto people, but I really like it's so hard because everybody needs it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're working on it. We're working
getting
on
there.
It.
We're getting there. It's so funny to think about having already been within it for, you know, gosh, it's like more than a decade now, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whew.
2007 Labor Day was the first bash that we all met at.
That was the best ever.
It was the best. I recently like found some of the photos from, you know, when we did the purple vendetta.
Oh my goodness.
Whatever our names were, where we like painted our middle fingers purple and
yeah.
So I recently found some of those photos and I was like, oh, wow, so like we were babies. This was so long ago. It was so just crazy.
That kind of community, though, I wish everybody could have a taste of that.
Yeah, like I talked about that a few podcast episodes ago and how having an online community is great, but like actually being in physical community with other fat people and like being able to just like let go of all of and like nobody has to explain and nobody has to pretend they don't want to eat a Twinkie and like just
right.
And just like allowing yourself to shed all of that like societal expectation on a fat person and just like,
oh my God,
be in a room with other fat people, like playing a game or, you know, just talking or whatever, eating a pizza. It's such
and a, like, and you don't think twice about it.
Right. And it's like such a affirming experience. And like after that first bash, we were all like, this is the best, like we all cried. We're like, this is the best thing that I've ever done. I never want to leave that place because it felt like it felt like utopia. And I just want everybody to be able to feel that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so funny, like even, well, it's not funny, but interesting that even outside, you know, being really fat, there are a lot of people, you know, in our culture that don't even approach fat and still feel that way. Like they still feel trapped.
Yeah.
And they still feel like they're not able to, you know, shed all of that. Now, I know it's harder for those of us that are really literally wearing it.
Yeah, totally.
You know, but by the same token, like, shoot, there are people that really live that way every day.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think they get to go have a piece of pizza and they're not worried anybody saw that and or what that, you know, other person might have thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, get a double scoop of, you know, ice cream on a cone and not feel like somebody just went, fat girl.
Right.
You know, like, huh. And that might not even be happening, but it is, well, it probably is, but it's something that lives in our brains.
Yeah.
And, you know, even as people who are really, you know, aware and keen to it, we still get it, you know, we still hear it.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, but we're just, I think we have found a way to make it mean something different.
Yeah.
And our reactions to it are different now.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, even if those reactions, again, are, you know, combative, at least it's not despondent.
Yeah.
And, you know, full of sadness because how the hell am I ever going to be not me?
Right.
And fuck that.
Yeah, definitely.
Excuse fuck my that. Language, but like seriously. Like,
I that say is fuck much so much is. On this podcast.
It makes me feel better.
Yeah. So Travis's parents are very conservative and they don't say fuck, obviously. they are like very, very conservative. And so shortly after I started the podcast, before I had met them, Travis was talking to them on the phone and his mom was like, oh, we've been listening to Ash's podcast. And my first thought was, oh my God, I say fuck so often. I'm like, wow, they're going to think terrible things of me because I'm like, have such a foul mouth on this podcast. But
oh no. Well, it sounds like it worked out okay in the end.
Yeah, it was fine.
Oh my goodness.
I was so nervous. And his mom is very entrenched in diet culture. Like she runs Weight Watchers meetings and she like has a wellness center. Wow. So I was terrified. And his mother, like, diet culture just comes out of her mouth like it is breath. Like, and I didn't feel like she was saying anything negative about fatness to me, but it just pours out of her. Like she doesn't even think about it. It just comes out of her like breathing.
Well, and, it is her life, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think she is fundamentally wrong on so many levels, but like, I'm obviously not going to change her. And obviously like she on many levels must accept that, you know, this is who I am. She listens to the podcast, so she knows what I'm about. So
that's like, freaking amazing though. I mean, like just that much, she listens to the podcast and she wants to know what you're about. And I think that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it may be part of, you know, we were talking about the way that people need to hear these messages in a non-threatening way. Maybe that's part of it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Having people, you know, getting them to stop and listen is the big hurdle, but she wanted to stop and listen. And she's someone, you know, deeply, deeply invested in the diet culture, but, you know, hearing these messages about liberation and love and community, like these are good things.
Yeah, I feel like she definitely has not absorbed any of the anti-diet culture stuff. But what she has absorbed is that fat people are people who deserve to be happy and who deserve to have things like clothes. And like I did an episode a year and a half or so ago about like the dearth of clothing options for people my size.
Yeah.
And the first thing she said the next time I talked to her was, I'm a seamstress. I can make you clothes. And it was just like, so it was so nice for her to like understand, like, even though we don't see eye to eye about dieting and like what's good food and what's bad food, like she is very invested in, you know, good foods versus bad foods. Even though we don't agree on that, at least she can see me as a human being who has a need that is not being met. And she wants to help me with that. So
That is pretty cool. That
Yeah.
is really nice. Like I mean, gosh, I almost don't have any words on that. That is really great.
Yeah.
But I
It was
totally
more
get it.
than
And you're
I.
kind of like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, there are so many things that I wish she understood, but if all she can do is like see me as a human who is married to her husband, to her son,
Yeah.
then that's fine.
Gosh, that's really cool. And I totally understand. It is a relationship that is fraught with, anxiety and push and pull already, just the idea
Yeah.
of a relationship between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
And to, add, she's got a very strong stance and, you have a very strong and right stance. I'm not biased. No, but I am. It's just that push and pull, and then worries about whether or not she's gonna think you took away her son. Like, that's just. I am so impressed right now. I'm really glad that it is working out in that direction.
Okay, let's take a moment to take a little break and talk about Big Fig. As you guys know, I've had my Big Fig for over a year and a half now, and I love this bed. It is so comfortable, and it's starting to get warm, and I am especially looking forward to those cool nights because of Big Fig's thermogel technology. It keeps you so nice and cool on those hot nights. I don't get sweaty. I don't wake up sticky and miserable, and it's just the best. And, everything else about the Big Fig is the best too. It's so sturdy. It has that incredible edge support, so I don't feel like I'm falling off the edge all night. The frame is so sturdy. I opted into that railroad steel frame, and it is so worth it. And this is all because the Big Fig is the first bed system made specifically for fat bodies. It is made to withstand the extra weight. And it really does. Like, I cannot express enough how sturdy this bed is. To learn more, go to bigfigmattress.com. And when you're ready to invest in the best bed that you've ever had, use my code FATLIP at checkout for $100 off of your purchase and to let them know that I sent you. Try the mattress that was made for your bigger figure with Big Fig.
Oh, it's just so nice to be able to get to talk to you.
Yeah, it's been forever. For
Yeah.
like
And it,
literally
gosh, can I tell you how
forever.
good it feels to talk about fat? I don't have a lot of that, like in my in my present IRL life. So it feels so good. Like I don't let go of it. I don't. And but yeah, it feels good to talk about it.
Good. Well, hopefully we'll get you some business and you'll get to talk about it all the time.
I would love that. I would love that. I kind of wonder, maybe I need to narrow my niche a little bit more and like really just put it out there for fat people instead of being like, everybody who's struggled with their body image. Because maybe I do just relate best with people who are coming from a fat space, who, want to not feel so isolated anymore, not feel so not enough and too much. That's a huge deal. It's always been my go-to explanation of what it's like to be a fat person in a thin world. Always too much and not enough all at the same
Yeah,
time.
definitely. Yeah, I feel like so there are tons of like haze practitioners but there's so many health at every size coaches are thin women. And I feel like a lot of fat people are looking for a haze coach, but they don't want to talk to a thin woman because it's like it's hard to be a fat person talking about your fat experience to a thin person that's never been fat, you know?
Right. And like absolutely we love our allies.
Yeah,
Bless
but
them, but yeah, it's well, it's a like say we went to that bash and it was all thin people hanging around.
yeah, it would have
That
been
wouldn't have had the same type of
no.
oh my gosh, I'm home.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, I don't think like maybe you don't need to exclusively, have fat clients, but
I might need to put it out there that way a little bit more.
Yeah, I do think that there's value in like making it clear that you want to see fat people.
Absolutely. Clients. I think you're right. And it's interesting because I'm not coming from a business place.
Right.
Like I don't want to say I'm not a business person because I am now, but I don't want to alienate people. But by the same token, I do think that the people that I'm going to be best serving are fat people.
Yeah.
I think that is what it's going to come down to. And I'm really excited about that. Gosh, I just want so badly to share it with people.
Yeah.
I want everybody to have the opportunity to have conversations like this.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I feel like so many people want to have conversations like this, but they just don't know. Well, so for the podcast, like I get a lot of people that really enjoy the podcast and would want to be on the podcast. But when I approach them, many people are like, oh, I don't know enough. I am not educated enough. And it's like, that's not what this is about. Like, this is not about, you know, us sitting here trading statistics that we know or like trying to be smarter than the other. This is about just having a conversation about what it's like to be fat or our experiences as in fat bodies or what
I love that.
What we think the solution is, you know? And
right. And, you know, even coming to one solution and then maybe thinking of something else, you know, again, the learn better, do better. Yeah. I feel like today, just talking to you, I've learned more and reestablished some of the thinking that really has been positive for me.
Yeah.
And this conversation has been amazing for me.
Good. Yeah. I'm so glad. Yeah.
Gosh.
And I think that a lot of fat people want to be able to talk to other fat people about, you know, what it's like to live in this world in a fat body and
I think it's just uncomfortable for people sometimes to come to that conclusion that they can talk about it.
Yeah.
And that it doesn't have to be fraught with value statements and that there's nothing embarrassing about it.
Right. There's nothing shameful about it. Like you don't have to feel shame talking about being fat.
Right.
And I feel like so many people are stuck there.
That's a hard lesson.
Yeah.
That's a hard one for people to learn. And that's, I think where, you know, having a practice of, you know, body liberation and fat liberation and having a practice of fat affirmation is really important because you need to come back to it. It can't just be I like my fat now.
Yeah.
Wish it were.
If
that
only
way,
you could just flip the switch.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, no.
But yeah,
it's a dimmer switch and it just never gets as bright as you think it could be.
Right.
as bright as it is, it can always be brighter.
Right. Well, I just really think it's great to be able to have these kind of conversations because I think this is the kind of closest I get to a switch, you know, and the support. And I did say fat affirmation. And I actually think I might write that one down because I like that.
Yeah.
You know, to remember not to love and light all over it because you can't love and light this.
Right.
You know, but you can practice it.
Yeah, definitely.
And practicing it with people that community support. Hell yeah.
Thank you so much to my very good friend, Betsy, for coming on the podcast and talking about all of this and for just being vulnerable about what it's like to start a business and to create a coaching program for fat people and, you know, what that means to her and what that means to me and what that means to all fat people. I just really loved this episode and I really loved being able to talk to Betsy and I hope to have her on again soon because it was just so good and I just love her so much. Okay, thank you to Star Crusher for the music you heard on today's show and the music you're hearing right now. If you would like to hear more, go to seestarcrusher.bandcamp.com. Thank you as always to our Patreon patrons. The Patreon patron of the day is Barbara. Thank you, Barbara, for your support. And to all of the Patreon patrons for your support. If you would like to become a Patreon patron, go to patreon.com/thefatlift to find out how. I've said Patreon approximately 600 times. go to patreon.com/thefatlift to find out how you can support the show for as little as $1 an episode, which is $2 a month. Thank you also to our sponsor, Big Fig. Go to bigfigmattress.com. You can use the promo code FATLIP at checkout for $100 off of your purchase and to let them know that I sent you. And Big Fig is running their Memorial Day sale right now, so it is a great time to get that mattress if you're in the market. Don't forget to follow the Fat Lip on social media. All of those links can be found at thefatlip.com, right up at the top. And I'm most active on Instagram, so that's the best place to follow me. And if you got a moment, you and are using Apple Podcasts, if you could rate and review us, that would be wonderful. Every rating and review makes it easier for other people to find us. Okay, that's all I have for today. Thank you so much for listening. And as I said, in the next couple of months, you might hear some reruns, but I will be back here and there. But in the meantime, I will talk to you soon. I hope you enjoy. Bye-bye.